All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Play Breakers. Hope everyone's enjoying the first few days of free agency in the NFL. I am here with Q. Gatto is currently on assignment. Busy couple days. Even the tampering, the legal tampering period was wild, man. How are you feeling?
It's always funny to see that, like, why didn't I just start free agency earlier? Why do we have to go through this period? Like, just call it earlier.
It's a really weird way to go about it. It's just like, hey, you're now allowed to talk to people.
Yeah, exactly.
Why? Like, what? So stupid.
It really doesn't make sense to me at all. But it's been a whirlwind these last few days, man. Like a lot of moving parts, a lot of stuff I wasn't really expecting to kind of happen.
A lot of big names too, bigger names than usual.
For sure. Yeah, I'm actually shocked. The one thing that was like really kind of stuck out to me was the amount of running backs. I think it's indicative of how people feel about this draft class, but like a lot of running backs off the board really, really fast. So
yeah. Yeah. A couple of the big ones, Saquon Barkley goes to the Eagles. Derrick Henry just signed with the Ravens. Austin Eckler to the Commandos. Kind of weird swap in Green Bay with Aaron Jones getting cut for Josh Jacobs.
I did not understand that at all.
They effectively signed him for the same like contract.
I understand Aaron Jones has had some injury issues the last few years, but fucking Josh Jacobs hasn't. And like he fucking put his team, he put that team on his back in the playoffs, man. Mm-hmm. Like I am shocked by that. Like let me be the bandwagon guy here. The Giants want to go grab Aaron Jones and pair him with Singletary next year, or like on a, you know, relatively cheaper contract. You could honestly, like, we can get Saquon in a minute, but I think it would be about the same price that they're going to pay Saquon next year. And I would much rather have that backfield than Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I'd agree. For those who are joining us on Twitch and YouTube, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be breaking down the AFC East, recognizing that free agency is still going on. We don't have the draft coming up, but we're really, really going to take a look at where those teams stand now, what their focus is going to be during this free agency process, and potentially answering some questions. If you want to get involved with the show, feel free to drop a comment in there on YouTube or Twitch. Also, give us a like and a follow on the social media platforms, and ultimately tell your friends about this show too. We really want to make sure that we're able to go out there and spread the word on what we're able to do here. Before we get into the AFC East, just want to get a temperature check on you on how you are seeing the Giants free agency process shape out so far.
The beginning of the day was a bit of a blow because they didn't really make any moves early on. The first domino was Saquon. And listen, I was one of the few, I remember where I was that draft. I was at a Buffalo Wild Wings of all places. And I watched an eruption of applause and celebrating when they took Saquon Barkley at two. And I was sitting there like furious.
Crying into your wings.
You just mortgaged your future. By the way, I think he will go down in history. I think he's going to be the highest drafted running back. Like, you go back 20 years in the future, the highest drafted running back in the last 20 years will be Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
The fact that everything's come out since that the Broncos offered them a haul to move to five, which then they could have gotten Quentin Nelson. They could have gotten Bradley Chubb. Maybe still gotten Saquon at five and gotten a mountain of picks with it. Dave Gettleman just absolutely torpedoed this future of this team. And we're still paying for it, by the way. We're still paying for it. He became the eighth highest paid running back coming into the league. Like, that just shows, like, good teams don't pay running backs. Look at the Super Bowl champions for the last 10 years. I've been advocating to trade him. The only problem I didn't have with what Joe Shane did was should have traded him last year. If you knew you weren't going to resign him, they didn't even make him an offer, apparently.
Yeah.
If you're not going to make him an offer, trade him. Trade him. You could have traded him. I mean, you're not going to trade him to the Eagles. Could have traded him to the Texans for something, even if you get back a day three pick. And that will also go for Xavier McKinney. I was fine with Saquon leaving. I don't care. I personally do not care. Everyone's
you were fine with it last year, too, right?
I wanted him gone last year, man. I didn't even want to franchise him. I wanted to franchise Jones, and let Saquon test the market and see if, you know, bring him back if on a cheap deal. But like, and I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles, man, those Eagles fans for the last few years have been calling him washed and now are just acting like they won the fucking Super Bowl. It is funny to me.
Yeah, it's a weird process that's going on right now because him and Tiki Barber got into it online, and that was just like the girls are fighting.
Two fucking idiots fighting on Twitter, man. I do not care. But it is funny though that Saquon like is getting so butthurt about this. He's far too emotional, man. Like he in a way like Odell, man. You read your news clippings way too much, man. Tune it out and like play football. No one cares about this bullshit, man. You're going to have haters in this fucking world. And like, that's what I loved about Eli Manning, man. Like, he didn't care. Like, you know, you think like Brandon Jacobs gave a shit about what people said about him? No, he didn't fucking give a shit. Too worried about your like off the field stuff for me. But good luck in Philadelphia. I don't fucking care. Like, honestly, I don't think it changes much. I think DeAndre Swift was a better fit for them anyway. People who are excited about this have not been watching Saquon the last few years. He is not the same guy he was at Penn State. $13.5 million. I want to see how the contract is structured. I'm sure Howie was smart enough to structure it in a smart way that leaves them pretty much an ability to get rid of him pretty quickly. I'm not worried about this at all. It's not a needle mover for me.
Yeah, year one is not something I wouldn't think too much about. Year two and three, I imagine that he's going to be pretty much out of gas by then.
I mean, again, like that was my exact reasoning, by the way, is that like the Giants were so far behind. Like, what was Saquon Barkley going to do for us? And what is, and like right now, we don't even have an idea of, you know, we signed Drew Lock today, which I liked as a backup. It was a 1 year, $5 million deal. But like, we don't even really have a plan of quarterback yet. So it's like, why are we going to bring Saquon back to be another 6-11 team or 5-12 team? It's ludicrous. Like, people are far too emotional about Saquon Barkley. I don't understand why.
Because they want to see it work. That's probably why. They want to feel vindicated from that regard. But I mean,
it's more about themselves than anything else, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like,
I agree.
This isn't the era of the NFL where you can get carried by a running back for entire seasons and multiple seasons. You can, I mean, Aaron Jones did it for a handful of games at the end of the year for the Packers to get into the playoffs, but like, we're not in that league anymore where you have a LaDainian Tomlinson and you don't really have to worry about anything else.
Saquon
wasn't consistent enough to be that guy either.
No. And honestly, I would rather have what the Commanders did at 2 years, $11 million for Eckler than I would rather have the Saquon contract. Like, are you kidding?
Like, yeah. I've seen mixed reviews on the Austin Eckler signing for Washington. His was 2 years, $11.43 million. And
probably 1 year guaranteed.
Yeah. I think the thing that people are forgetting is that he's not going to be the primary running back there. No. It's going to be Brian Robinson. And Eckler is going to be what Antonio Gibson was supposed to be, a guy who can catch the ball. Yeah. And hang on to it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all that to be said, like the Commanders had like $90 million in cap space. You have to spend it somewhere. And as of right now, this team needs talent at multiple positions rather than just like spending on one or two big time free agents. Like, if you look at some of the folks that they picked up, they're not like splashy folks. They're not splashy players, but they're solid starter material or good backups. Like, I know Nick Allegretti from the Chiefs. Probably not going to be a starter, but going to be a really good swing man.
I like that signing, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think people were trying to make it out more than it was, but I think he wants to try and start. And frankly, the offensive line is Swiss cheese. And again, we talked about this on Discord the other day, but Tyler Biadasz, not spectacular, solid. Gave up 3 sacks in 3 years.
Price of him?
3 years, 30.
See, that's not bad. Like, I mean, honestly, that's the same price that the Giants paid for John Runyon Jr., which, again, I feel is fine. I'm not spectacular about it. But when you watch, like, Robert Hunt get $20 million a year, it's like you really want to nail offensive line in the draft, man, because – That shit is fucking expensive. The fact that guards are now getting $20 million a year when just a couple years ago wide receiver top end wide receivers were getting that money, it really goes to show also, just on a separate note, that I think IDL is now becoming a premium position. To where, yeah, like, the last few years, like, even a run-stuffing defensive tackle, like, you get those guys undrafted, I don't think that's going to happen anymore. I think, like, those guys are going to get overdrafted a lot now because the fact that interior linemen like that, interior pressure. But, yeah, I like what the Commandos are doing, by the way. Jeremy Chinn today, he really came out like a fucking rocket those first 2 years. He's been kind of the last two seasons. So you got him on a cheap deal 1 year. You said, I think you told me he wanted to play for Dan Quinn. Makes a lot of sense. Yep. He's a versatile chess piece. If he's healthy, that's a fucking steal. I mean,
yeah, I will say, like, I'm excited for Jeremy Chinn, but there's another guy they also got from the Panthers in Frankie Louvu, which
I like that one too.
It's hard because the Panthers are, they're so forgettable that there's actually like quality players on that team that just get like really overshadowed. Brian Burns being one.
We'll get to Brian Burns in a minute.
Brian Burns being one, Frankie Louvu and Jeremy Chinn. Like, I read about Frankie Louvu and he was like the sixth rated linebacker for the last two or three years. I'm like, all right, that's a position that's been a real weak spot for this team. And I find it hysterical and ironic that in all of the time that Ron Rivera was the head coach and effectively the GM of the Commandos, that he was never really able to bring in quality players from Carolina. He would bring in all like the washed dudes like Thomas Davis.
Dave Gettleman too.
Right. And now that he's gone, now that he's gone, you probably bring in two of their better players, not named Brian Burns, and you get them on relatively cheap deals. Chinn is a 1 year deal. Louvu is 3 years, 36. Like,
which is nothing really.
Yeah. I mean, these are solid. And then you couple them with like a Dorrance Armstrong and a Cleveland Farrell.
Again, I didn't even see the Farrell signing.
Yeah. Again, like he was a backup in San Francisco. So same was Armstrong too. And I think their approach is like, they're trying to find guys who have developed, have been solid backups that are ready to take that leap to be starters. And it's not a bad move. I mean, you can get guys for probably a little bit cheaper. You're pulling guys away from teams in the NFC with Dallas and San Francisco. They've got two guys from Dallas and they're supposed to be in conversation with Tyron Smith. I don't know how I feel about that one.
I would like it, honestly.
I know. He's been in the league forever, man.
He's definitely not the same guy anymore. But
That's what makes me nervous, because I feel like, and this is probably a conversation at large, that free agency is kind of a mixed bag in the sense that you can get guys that can be productive, or you can get guys that get their bag and it's over for them. And they get paid for 1 year and they're effectively out of the league after that because they hit that certain age threshold where now they're starting to tip into like a diminishing return player, but they end up being expensive because you got them in free agency.
But I mean, I have to think though, right, that like most likely if you get a guy like Tyron Smith, like he's not signing for the max. Like you're getting him on a relatively manageable deal, probably.
I just want to know what manageable is.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be vet minimum most likely because of his history, but like I imagine it'd probably be market value, which is, you know, probably about like $10 million a year. Relatively, probably, I imagine, front loaded. Like you'd pay, if you have $90 million in cap, like if you give him 3 years, $30 million, right? Like let's just throw that number out there, right? And you guarantee 2 years, you pay it out all now so that you can cut them next year. What's the downside, right? You have all that cap space anyway. If he is somehow rejuvenated, like Jason Peters, remember Jason Peters? Everyone was like saying for a while he was washed.
He's still playing?
No, I don't. Well, he might. It depends. He's kind of like a mercenary at this point. But, you know, people kind of said he was washed for a year and then and then all of a sudden he had that bounce back year.
They said it was over for him when he was in Buffalo, dude.
I know. I was so mad when they traded him to Philadelphia. I was like, you fucking morons. Like, oh, we got a first round pick for him. Cool, man. Maybe, you know, this box could be anything. Maybe it'll be Jason Peters, you know, like you can take Jason Peters or this mystery box.
Yeah.
It could be anything in there.
Oh, you drafted Trent Edwards. Fantastic. Love that for you. The other piece, well, the piece that makes me concerned about Tyron Smith is he's missed 37 of a possible 67 games in the last couple of years. I mean, that's 4 years.
Back issues, and it's not great.
And I'm wondering if, you know, they're able to get him on not necessarily a bargain deal, but something that is maybe like, hey, man, I need to – this could potentially be the last opportunity to play and the last opportunity to get a decent contract. So I'm willing to take less for maybe more years or even just a higher AAV for less years.
So – The top people available right now are Bakhtiari, but like it's only a matter of time before he's a Jet, right? Like there's no way he's not going to be a Jet, right? Like
depending on if I'm going to hang on to that comment when we talk about the Jets.
Okay.
It's all in likelihood, yeah.
By the way, the Giants just signed Isaiah McKenzie. I like that. Another Buffalo guy. Probably replace Shepard. Just wanted to throw that out there. I mean, listen, it just feels like he's going to be a Jet because of Rodgers, and it's just going to come down to accounting and what they want to give him. Then there's Charles Leno, who literally the Commanders cut, so I can't imagine they're going to re-sign him. And then it's Tyron Smith, Andres Pete, Dwayne Brown, Trenton Brown, Jonah Williams, Cornelius Lucas, George Fawn, Donovan Smith. None of them names sound interesting to me at all. Maybe Andres Pete as like a guard, but I'm not even really that interested. Dwayne Brown, 38 years old, still relatively productive, but you'd be paying him the same thing that you're paying Tyron Smith.
And you don't know where the cliff is with him at that point.
No, not at all. Tyron Smith is only 33 years old. I know that sounds old, but like it's not really. Bakhtiari is 32, you know?
Yeah,
I
mean, like, it's just the injuries though, man. Like it's a lot of time.
That's the problem. Yeah, he has not been able to stay healthy, and like you don't feel like he will be able to, and he's not going to. Like you have to go into it with that mindset that like he's going to miss a couple games. But if he's locked in for 12 games, can he be locked in for those 12 games and be a high-end starter? You know, so that's the thought process.
Yeah, it's the potential there.
I did want to circle back to the Giants for a minute because elephant in the room. We lose Xavier McKinney, and that one stung really bad for me because especially now with Shane Bowen taking over the defense – safety is a really big integral part of that defense, and to miss out on a guy like that really fucking sucks, man. Like, but $17 million a year was a little bit maybe more than I wanted to spend. I would have still gave it to him. I think the Giants apparently only came in around 13 with him. He goes to Green Bay. He doesn't go to Philadelphia, thank God, because I think they were the other team that was like trying to get him. so it's not as bad, but it leaves a giant hole in the secondary, which really worried me. But then the news comes out, and it happened really fucking fast. Like, all of a sudden, people started saying that they're like the Giants were like getting aggressive for Brian Burns. And then I saw a beat writer for the Panthers basically said, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when this will get announced. And that's when it like got real. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, please don't tell me this is a future one or something. Like because like we've talked about the Panthers separately, that like we'll get really in depth with them when we talk about them. But my God, what a fumble these last few years. They were offered 2 first round picks last year from the Rams to get Brian Burns, and they turned it down because they either anticipated that they were going to re-sign him or that they were going to get a better deal than 2 first round picks. So the deal is official. The Giants land Brian Burns. They give up their pick in the second round, pick number 39. I believe it's a future 5, so I'm guessing next year. And then a couple minor pick swaps on day 3. And, like, that is, like, a humongous deal. A 25-year-old ascending pass rusher. It is the same amount, the same compensation that they got back for Leonard Williams, by the way, which is, like, insane to me that the Seattle that gave up that pick for Leonard Williams. I am like I can't believe it, honestly. Like, it didn't feel real for a second because, like, you go back to 2019, Tom, I had two guys that I was screaming at when we picked Daniel Jones. I said I wanted Josh Allen, who was the kid from Kentucky who ended up on the Jags, or Brian Burns, who was a Florida State kid. I watched him a lot because he was my guy in 2019, and I was so mad because he went one pick before the Giants' second first-round pick that they got for Odell, and he went to the Panthers at 16. At 17, they got Dexter Lawrence. So all's well that ends well because now we have both of those guys. It's really amazing. It's an amazing deal. They re-signed him. I think it's a five-year, 150 roughly. So he's going to get like $30 million a year. It's a big move, but I'd be more than willing to bet on an edge rusher. Like, it's a premium position. And I think that's the one thing that I take away from this is that Joe Shane was not willing to overspend on safety, was not willing to overspend on running back, but he's like, I will spend on an edge rusher because it's a premium position. He's 25. In 2 years, $30 million a year will be a discount.
Yeah.
If he's, you know, playing at the high level, which he's proven already he can do.
I don't mean to take anything away from Joe Shane because I think he's done a pretty bang up job as the Giants GM. Carolina. I
what are they doing?
That is more shocking for me that they've just let this team absolutely degrade to what it is now. And like, talk about just not knowing when to strike ever and never learning from any of your mistakes. I mean, there's not a lot to root for in Charlotte, North Carolina right now related to the Carolina Panthers. There is just, I don't even know if they've signed anybody of value. Like, they probably picked up some goons. I mean, Robert Hunt, yeah, they got him on a pretty good deal, but
there's
not a lot here that screams like, yes, you have to do Josie Jewell.
They signed Damian Lewis as well. So they went pretty heavy on
guards. Yeah.
Yeah. They went pretty heavy on interior offensive linemen. They did sign A'shaun Robinson, who was with the Giants last year. Really good run defender. I give them credit that they're trying to fix the offensive line here. And I mean, it's both Dan Morgan's fault and it's not his fault because he was the assistant GM here last year. And now, like, he's the full-on GM.
Yeah. You run the show now, dude. Like,
the interesting thing, though, is that, like, apparently there was like five other teams in on Brian Burns, and like Joe Shane and Dan Morgan apparently have history. So I think that kind of maybe helped. But like, what were the other offers that they ended up taking a fucking 2 and a 5 for fucking Brian Burns? What was somebody offering him, a fucking turkey sandwich or some shit? Like, I mean, I can't even imagine.
I would imagine that might be like Panthers cope, where somebody spreads the rumor, like they know they're not going to be able to re-sign Burns. Did they franchise tag him?
Yes. Yeah.
And he was probably not going to sign that tender. So
No, I can't imagine that he would have.
I'm assuming right now. So I don't have any evidence of this, but I would assume they've probably ratcheted up that number from like 1 to 2 to 5. And I would imagine that those two actual offers that they got were probably the same thing. And the only reason why they picked the Giants was, one, probably the picks were better and the relationship with Shane. Like, I can't envision anybody like going back to them and be like, hey, we're willing to give you a couple first round picks for a guy who's not going to sign his tender and you can't get rid of. And you've already said it's like the price is extremely high.
I can't wrap my head around it, but it's one of those things that, like, I think you just kind of like don't question it and you're just like, okay, you know what? I'll take it. Thank you.
He signed the extension. They can't take it back now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's done. Right. Yeah. He's ours. But what I love though, is that what Joe Shane, the free agents that Joe Shane focused on, when he talk about like a guy like John Runyon and Brian Burns, both younger guys, which again is where I want to be, but also Jermaine Elenfor, John Runyon, and Brian Burns have all played at least 14 games in the last few years. Mm-hmm. So, like, healthy-ish players, you know? Not that, you know, Xavier McKinney was durable, but, like, Saquon, obviously not. You know, a lot of their offensive line guys just can't stay healthy. So it definitely seemed they were going for more younger guys and more durable guys. So I'm all for that.
Yeah, they're taking some of the guys that were on that team that were – in some cases, they were taking up space, and they're moving in. Like, you've gone through the 2 years of, like, fleshing out all those old Dave Gettleman contracts, and now this is like, yeah, this is where the magic really is going to happen, where you now have some cap flexibility, and you've got players that fit the schemes. I mean, quarterback is still a question, but I'd imagine that's going to get resolved by the draft.
I'm going to make a proclamation now. I think quarterback is the pick at six. And I think it's going to be McCarthy. And I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it. There is a small chance, though, and I wouldn't be shocked, because I'm telling you right now, I'm going to make a bold prediction here. And I think that officially, obviously, Caleb Williams is the number one pick. No one's surprised by that. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be your quarterback at two. To where I'm seeing the tea leaves starting to go. And I think it's a smart move, because I think Peters, the one thing I think is going to sway Peters is that he took a chance on Trey Lance in San Francisco. And it was a guy who was a bit of a project, not a ton of games under his belt, really toolsy, Drake May, and didn't work out. And I think that he's going to go for the guy, Jaden Daniels, who's got 5 years of starter experience, tons of games under his belt, and again, like, also very toolsy. Like, you know, he's got everything you want, and then he's got the history too. So I think that Jaden Daniels is going to be the number two pick. That leaves number three, though, and this is where it gets interesting, because I don't think I would be surprised if JJ McCarthy is the third pick in the draft.
Well, if that's the case, do you want to get into the Patriots now and just start going?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's start there, since we're on the subject. So you don't think that the Patriots are in on May? You don't see that being the case?
Not necessarily. I mean, it could be, but Well, first things first, they're definitely taking a quarterback. There's no doubt about that anymore. There was some minor thought processes that were kind of playing out that people were like, oh, well, maybe they'll go with Marvin Harrison Jr. It's done. Everything I've heard from everybody, and like Daniel Jeremiah tweeted that the other day, that he's heard that they are focused on quarterback and that's where they're going. They also apparently are trying to get Calvin Ridley. Anytime that you're trying to get a top-end wide receiver one in free agency, it's you're taking a quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr., you wouldn't even bother with a guy like Calvin Ridley. So, but everyone is saying now that, like, apparently, like, and again, maybe it's just draft talk. Maybe come May, you know, April or May, you know, we all of a sudden see Drake May goes number three, and it's like, oh, all that was bullshit. But there's a lot of people now that are saying that McCarthy might be QB3 on a lot of people's boards. And the NFL, like, this has been a steady drumbeat for a long time. Doesn't McCarthy kind of look like a Patriot, though?
Yeah. I mean, if we're looking at it just at the surface level.
Again, the idea of him being, like, it could be like a Robert Kraft thing, too. Like, winner, longtime history type of guy. I'm not saying it's accurate. I'm just saying, like,
I know
mind in the sense of like what the Patriots are looking for,
and they're longing for Tom Brady. So seeing the parallels between Michigan quarterbacks, it's not something you said. It's more like the argument that like winning in college equates to winning in professional. Of course,
it's bullshit. QB wins is a like, bullshit stat anyway.
Yeah, if he was a winner, then he wouldn't have handed off the ball 32 straight times in that Penn State. Like, get the fuck out of here.
But that's not fair, though. You know that's not fair, though. Like, you know that that's not fair when you play in it, when you're playing in an offense that has an elite offensive line, an elite running back, an elite everything. It's not his fault that like he had good things around him and that Jim Harbaugh didn't have to use him. It's the idea of projection.
32 straight times, though. That's
because Blake Corum is a fucking monster.
That's an alarming number. so I I appreciate that you brought that up about them wanting to take a quarterback, because it seemed like when Gerard Mayo got hired, a lot of the internal like information that was coming out was that they wanted to have a veteran quarterback, and that was their focus. And them signing Jacoby Brissett kind of made
solidifies
sense.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. But if they're serious about it, I mean, I'm looking at the guys that they've signed in free agency. They brought in Antonio Gibson. They re-signed Kendrick Bourne, who I think will have a better year now that they actually have a functional team and offense.
Coming off an ACL tear was very weird, though, to give him that much money.
I think they believe in him. That's probably why. And they also need to show, I'm wondering partially, is are they trying to show teams that they're actually serious about signing players now? Because I think for a long time, they've probably scared off anybody of like real football talent, and they've just recruited guys that played like pickleball at fucking Northwestern or whatever. Signed two offensive linemen, re-signed Mike Onwenu.
Which, by the way, they got him at a discount.
Dirt money, by the way. Yeah. Dirt money.
I mean, not dirt money, but like less than Robert Hunt got, and like Onwenu's got tackle and guard versatility. So like, he should have gotten the bag thrown at him, and this is a very modest deal.
Yeah.
Robert Hunt getting more money than him is not what I expected.
I will say, though, like, I would be curious if the Patriots don't go for a quarterback, because this team, the defense was really good last year, and I think having Mayo there, again, would probably continue that trend. It seems like they've actually brought in some competent weapons on offense, and yeah. I don't think it's a hard like thing to envision them saying like, we could probably get one good year out of Jacoby Brissett and let's go for it. So if they wanted to take Marvin Harrison Jr. or trade out of that pick to get more, I could also envision, honestly, I could see that for teams 2, 3, 4 of them trading out of those spots, because I think you can, Cardinals probably the easiest one, because I think they could be convinced that they can get a haul for that number four pick.
I'm going to say, though, I think that there's going to be a trade at four regardless.
Yeah.
So my anticipation is that there's a possibility that they maybe like McCarthy a little bit more. Maybe. But it could just be a smokescreen, and that they love Drake May. So like, nothing would really shock me in that regard. But what I will say, though, is that I have full anticipation that at number four, if one of those guys is there, if it's Drake May, I would not be shocked that the Giants make a move there. If it's McCarthy, everything I've been hearing, man, is that the Vikings are fucking all over him.
Yeah.
And it would not shock me if, like, McCarthy's there at four, the Vikings move up and go get him.
Yeah. I've heard something very similar to that as well. And ultimately, like, particularly for the Patriots, I think their issue is just finding consistency again. And I'm not kidding. Like, they were, I don't know if you had a chance or suffered through any of those games last year, but their offense was so bad. And it wasn't just coaching, but it was also just the personnel they had. Yeah. And I really think that they probably need more to even just be competent. And I don't necessarily know, because I think their division is winnable. That's a hot take that I have.
For the Patriots?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And I think if they can see that, they're going to want to take somebody who can help them right now. And that's where Marvin Harrison Jr. would come in. Or trading out and maybe like getting a Malik Nabers, but some like sprinkles on top of that if they trade it down. I don't necessarily know how JJ McCarthy is going to help them this year. Because if you're drafting him at three, right, your expectation is he's going to play.
Yes. I imagine so. I imagine that they think that. But what I would say, though, is that, again, like, the argument has been that he might be the most ready guy because of the situations that he's been in. Mm-hmm. And listen, you are not a fan of JJ McCarthy like I am. And I get it. But like his tools actually do really translate pretty well to the next level because of the fact of his ability to throw on the run, throw off platform, throw at different arm angles. Like he's a very cerebral kid. He gets it. I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up being one of the better quarterbacks out of this class. It really wouldn't shock me one bit.
I don't think that he wouldn't be. I think my concern is of all of the guys, and granted, we have three COVID guys in here. So we have three guys that have extended time.
Are we still doing the COVID guys?
Yeah. Jaden Daniels, Penix, Bo Nix.
This is the last year, I guess.
Yeah. My hesitation is that of all of the guys in this draft, of all the top guys, he has the fewest reps and fewest in-game like engagement in that regard. Like he has pretty simplified offense for him in the sense that he didn't have to do a whole lot at the offensive line, at the line of scrimmage, having to figure things out. He's got tools and can make plays, but when it comes down to like how many times have you seen those things happen and run them in game, his numbers are a little bit shorter than everybody else. So I think if he gets drafted, he needs to sit and see and learn and grow and develop. My hesitation is that if somebody takes him at three, they expect him to start by like week four or five and probably on a not good team. And it stunts his growth in that regard. I could be wrong. Like I could be off base in that regard, but I've also seen.
I don't know. Because honestly, like if the teams that have been most linked to him are the Vikings, who just signed Sam Darnold. So like they're going to probably let him run it for a year. You know,
throw 1,000 interceptions for them.
Yeah. Who gives a shit? Right. Although I was advocating yesterday that maybe the Giants should go get Sam Darnold yesterday. I thought about it for like an hour. Like it was more of like, man, what if like he really figured it out and like the Jets, he failed for the Jets and then was a success for the Giants. It just would have been so funny. But no. By the way, the Steelers just traded Deontay Johnson to the Panthers. So Panthers are making some moves.
Okay.
It's a couple years too late, in my opinion. I think Deontay Johnson is fine. He's, you know, good. You know what? I actually like, I don't know.
He will be fine for them.
Yeah, I'm not even going to touch that right now, honestly, because it's a weird one for me. Because I feel like they already have that type of guy in Adam Thielen, though. Like, that's kind of what Adam Thielen does. He's like the safety net for a quarterback. Like, I feel like they're the kind of the same dude. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. Congratulations, Panther fans. So I think if the Patriots were to take him because of Jacoby Brissett and the Vikings with Sam Darnold, I don't think he's going to be thrust in. Even if you trade up, he's not going to be thrusted into the job. Same thing with the Giants. Even if the Giants take McCarthy, he's not going to be thrusted into the job because it's going to be – they'll most likely walk in as QB3 behind Jones and Drew Locke. But like with a chance that like mid-year things are not going well, you know, neither of them are kind of doing anything. Same thing with Sam Darnold or Jacoby Brissett, which by the way, I think Jacoby Brissett is a fucking solid ass quarterback. I think he'll do well in New England. The idea is that they could take over. So like it's kind of providing like that bridge. It's what it is. It's a bridge quarterback. So I don't think anything discounts. I don't think he'll be asked to start right away, but like, if there's an opportunity to go get your guy, you got to take it. So
I think if it's for the Vikings, my expectation is they want to start him because they need to show to Justin Jefferson, like we're actually trying here, because there was a report that came out that he has turned down a 30 mil a year offer.
I would too, by the way.
I would too. But again, like I think in that situation, there's not a whole lot there between Sam Darnold and whoever QB3 is. And Sam Darnold, for all the hype that he got in San Francisco, I still don't buy that he's the best quarterback on their roster, according to Mike Shanahan.
I mean, don't you think that Kevin O'Connell can get something out of him, though? Because, like, if you look at how Josh Dobbs did mid-year there, like, he's in the way, like, on the level of, like, you know, like QB type guru type guys. Like we look at McVay and we're like, he can take a nobody and turn him into a superstar. I don't know. I like the Darnold signing. I think, but clearly I don't think it precludes them from taking a quarterback at some point. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
We have strayed very far from
the Patriots. I know we were talking about the Patriots here, but like, no, I don't want to go too off base here, but like, I don't know. New England is one of those teams that I'm just not really sure what they're thinking. Like, this is why I'm kind of like, I'm really kind of just guessing here because, we're in a post Belichick world. So like nothing really, if Belichick was still the coach, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably the pick.
I would disagree. I think it would probably be like a placeholder or something. Like
that. Long snapper from Alcorn State. Long snapper.
Yeah. and here's why I said that. The reason why I said I think the Patriots have a chance to win their division, because one, it's the NFL and there's always fluke shit that happens like that, right? I also think too, like, this team is destined for a pretty big bounce back. Just even if they run out Jacoby Brissett, I've seen enough from him in his career to think like he is not going to lose you games. When he was the quarterback in Cleveland, when what's his face was suspended, he was a solid quarterback for them. The guy who was Texans, now Browns, terrible.
Oh, Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got you.
No. So, I mean, even when he was in Washington too, like he subbed in for Sam Howell in a couple games and they were getting pounded in those three games. Like they're absolutely blown out. And he comes in and throws three touchdowns. Like, I think there's a lot there. Teams like him. And
he figured out how to get Terry involved too.
Yeah, he finds a way to get into the starting lineup, whether by design or by disaster.
Yeah,
like he's able to make it work, and ultimately, like, I have not seen enough from the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets to justify like there's going to be a big year for any three of those teams. And I want to offer it to you. Like, who do you want to talk about next?
Let's transition to Buffalo, because there was a lot of turnover there, and like I think a lot of they are considered kind of the favorite. I guess you can say favorite team. And they lost a lot of people, man. Like, first things first, they I think Micah Hyde is a free agent.
And they cut him.
They cut him. Okay, so Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde and Tre'Davious White. You know, three all-pro defensive backs gone. And I don't know if they have the, like, you know, they have the kid from Florida, Kareem Elam, who they drafted a couple years ago. I don't think he's really been the guy that they want him to be yet. They cut Mitch Morse, their long-term center. Leonard Floyd is signed with San Francisco. Gabriel Davis went to Jacksonville. They re-signed Daquan Jones. They re-signed AJ Epinesa. They bring Mitch Trubisky in. Cam Lewis they signed to a modest deal. Hines is gone. A lot of turnover. I think they're still over the cap too.
Yeah, I think this is probably a transition year for them. No, like they've tried it with this formula for the last three or four years and it hasn't worked. And now they need to try something different. Like,
This is hubris though. Like, I mean, I like Brandon Bean a lot, and like Joe Shane is a descendant of that guy. That's he taught learned everything from him. So I need him to be good, because I need Joe Shane to be good. But signing Von Miller was just hubris.
What a disaster!
What was that? I remember when that happened, I said, "What the fuck are you doing?" Like, a guy who was already kind of on the downswing, injury wise and play wise. And you give him like $100+ million a year, a lot of guaranteed money. It wasn't one of those like easy to get out of deals. And like, you know, granted, I think he'd take a pretty sizable pay cut to stay, which all's well and fine. But like, this is when you try and go for it, man. You still need to be smart. You can't be fucking reckless when you're going for it, you know? And like, that was Buffalo going for it. It just never made sense to me. And
his contract was 6 years, 120.
What were the guarantees on that? 45 guaranteed million. $45 million guaranteed at signing.
Total for $51 million.
Oh, terrible. Garbage. Awful, awful contract.
Average salary, $20 million.
Man, and he had, what, 8 sacks in 2022, 0 in 2023. Basically injured all year.
Yeah, this year, and then they have a potential out in 2025.
Ugh,
but disgusting. I mean, I can't imagine they'd want to hang on to him at age 38.
What a fucking awful deal that was. And it really screwed them, because now, like, you're on the hook for that money. And like, you think about what you could, like, what you could actually spend that on. I think his cap hit this year is not that bad, $15 million cap hit, but the dead cap, and like, I imagine he's got roster bonuses and stuff like that. It is just never made sense to me. And like, now, like, you lose a big chunk of that defense and lose Gabe Davis, who is fine, you know, no Isaiah McKenzie gone. I just don't really know what you do there. Like, they really need to maximize Josh Allen while he's still breathing, because the amount of hits that guy takes is crazy sometimes. But like, it just feels like their window was closed, and that's what's kind of like crazy about it. Is it like, if it feels like, there's no way they get better this year.
Yeah, and that's why I said I think this is probably a transition year for them, and this is probably the last shot that Osama bin McDermott has for that team. because I mean, he's been a good coach for them, but they have not been able to get where they needed to go. And I think if there's a year that like you're gonna let a coach go, it's probably fine to do it in the down year. Because if you like look at it, this team has kind of trended down over the last couple of years. Make you feel better, but ever since Brian Daboll has left, it doesn't really feel sure. The same kind of team, right?
No,
like it
no.
Doesn't have the same level of explosiveness, and it's just missing pieces.
Do you remember that playoff game the last year Brian Daboll was there? It would have been 2019 with the Chiefs, where they went back and forth, felt like a million times, just like firing away on each other, and the Chiefs just barely came through. And we were like, man, the Super Bowl can't be good, because this was the best game ever.
Yeah.
Like, there was no way the Super Bowl could even compete. I think that was the year they lost to Tampa. He was able to push that offense in such a crazy way. And like, I know Ken Dorsey, like, I felt like he got screwed over, because like, they were still efficiency ratings that were very high. Like, they were just like having shit luck, that, and then all of a sudden they fire him, and then like things didn't really get better offensively. They just had better kind of swings, and they started winning more games. But they do, you know, they have a good staff there. So I mean, at least they can kind of get away with it. I don't know, man. Like, it is just, you know, the Joe Brady taking over there. So they went from, you know, Brian Daboll to Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady. So like, obviously pretty good staff. Like, you're still there, but like, it just doesn't, you're right. It just, the vibes are different. Like, it just doesn't have that unlimited ceiling like it felt like it did when Brian Daboll was there.
Yeah. I feel kind of like they are now feeling the pressure of a team that has not performed, and they've put a lot on themselves. Like, 2020 and 2021 were probably the years they were going to be able to do it. And they just haven't. And I don't know, man. It just feels like this team, like, they either need to hit in the draft, or they need to, like, they're in cap problems. Like, they're going to have to cut more people. And there's not a lot there to begin with. And on top of that, Stephon Diggs is probably not happy either. Like, he wants,
he can't be up. Like, yeah, he can't be. Yeah. If the Giants made a call to the Bills and said, we'll give you 3 first-round picks plus this, plus that, we'll give you Kayvon Thibodeau too, you think they would take it for Josh Allen? I feel like if I asked you this question last year or 2 years ago, it would have been like, shut up, like stop being dumb. But I feel like it's not as impossible as we thought.
I think they would be willing to listen to the conversation. I think you would probably need more than 3 first round picks in Kayvon Thibodeau.
Oh, no, for sure. It would be a humongous package, but like, it's weird though, because it kind of feels like it's not as crazy as it sounded like 2 years ago. And now it's
what's the downside for Buffalo is that you lose Josh Allen. That's huge. But at the same time, like, you know, this team is not going to be good. And
you're rebuilding for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, you have the Giants picks and everything. So
a guy that plays with that level of physicality, like we've seen it with Cam Newton, that eventually that kind of wears out and you only need one big hit in the shoulder and the back. And that kind of changes everything. So
he's taken so many big hits and he just gets up and it's like, wow. But then like, there's going to be a day where kind of like you said, Cam Newton's a perfect example where it's like, man, he just doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's weird. I think Buffalo could end up being still good. Sometimes when the pressure's on you, it like creates, you know, pressure creates, you know, diamonds and everything like that. So it wouldn't shock me if the Bills are really good this year. But I don't know. I think it leads to Miami, right? Because Miami is going to be the team to beat, I think, next year. Because I think to where, you know, Buffalo has lost a lot, Miami has not really. I mean, Christian Wilkins is a huge loss because he is so talented. But I don't think and losing Robert Hunt really sucks too, but I don't think it really changes anything though.
My fear for them is, are they going to have a continuation of what happened last year where everybody on that team got hurt? And I get concerned about teams like that have like multiple starters down and they're like, well, you know, these guys will come back. I'm like, they might. Like, we've seen guys go through pretty traumatic injuries. Who was the linebacker that they had that tore his Achilles tendon?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He played at Miami University. What is his name? Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
you got guys that are having like ACL tears.
Yeah.
Achilles tendon tears, like pretty dramatic and traumatic injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And also too, like I feel like we had this conversation at the end of last season in the playoff game in Kansas City, but I don't think Tua is the guy. And I don't know how much farther he's going to be able to carry them. Honestly, I would be really interested if Miami went up and drafted not one of the top 3 or 4 guys, or maybe, who knows, maybe they say like, we either pay Tua or we let him write out this contract and we draft somebody else, similar to like kind of a Drew Brees situation with Philip Rivers, where they're like, we don't know if we're going to be able to win with this guy with the Chargers, so let's draft his replacement and see if we can get one good year out of him. And they did. You got one healthy year out of Tua. I don't know if you're going to be able to get 2. And it's just,
I imagine they're feeling the pressure because, you know, Tua is going to want a new deal, but like, obviously they're not going to be rushing to give him that deal. I think the thing is that I would play this year out, and you could always franchise tag him. You know, you control him for really the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you have this year's contract and then you have 2 franchise tags. The downside obviously with franchise tags is that you can't manipulate the money, right? It is a flat cap hit of whatever it is, and that's one of the reasons why the Giants went so heavy to sign Daniel Jones, which, you know, whatever, don't want to get into that. But I mean, listen, I get it. But like, it's, my thing is this, is that I don't really know what you do with him because it's going to be so expensive. And then like, it feels like he's one hit away. And if you retire, like if he has to be like medically retired, you're still fucking paying the cap. Like the cap hit doesn't go away because he's like medically hurt or something. So I think the problem becomes is that, like, what do you do? And I honestly think that they probably sign him. And I think that that's how it's going to go. But I said it before, and I'll say it again, that, like, it really kind of would behoove them maybe to get, like, a Michael Penix or something.
I was wondering about that, too. Like,
get yourself a guy in the back end of the first round that you know could probably be a good player for you, and, like, let him sit for a year or two and see where it goes.
Yeah. And ultimately, like, Skylar Thompson is the number two guy for them, right?
Yeah, they don't have anybody back up.
You know? Yeah, so even if you don't draft somebody, you should probably find a veteran QB just to bring in that has some kind of starting experience. I'd be really curious, actually, if they said, hey, Joe Flacco, are you interested in just being a backup here?
Well, that is actually an interesting thought. I haven't really considered. But yeah, I mean, look, man, I think the reality of it is pretty simple, is that, like, they're going to have to make a move, like, eventually. Like, there's just no doubt about it that they're going to have to make a move. Because, like, you can't go into this year with, you know, just Tua and Skylar Thompson again. Because, like, if he does get hurt again, Skylar Thompson was not able to carry this team. So,
yeah, if he gets hurt, the season's over. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
That's why I was like, Jacoby Brissett, I thought they would go pretty heavy for a guy like Jacoby. To have that guy who can, like, really kind of sit there. But I mean, I guess the opportunity in New England was too good. But man, it's a tough one, man. I don't know.
You don't see a potential in them trading for, like, a Justin Fields, do you?
No, I think the most logical thing for Justin Fields, New England, I've not discounted New England, by the way, for Justin Fields, potentially. But I think the reality is that Justin Fields has kind of played himself out of a starting job at this point, right? Like, there's really the two big teams are the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Falcons, and both of them have already found quarterbacks. So I think the only real route here is I've heard Philadelphia as a backup to Jalen Hurts, or Seattle to a backup to Geno Smith. I think Seattle makes the most sense because, you know, Geno has had some injuries, and then you take into account that also he's had some injuries, and then also, like, I think his contract is relatively flexible over the next few years. Could be one of those things where he sits behind him for a year or two and then, you know, takes over the starting job. But I mean, the Giants, I'm not going to discount the Giants either, though, because if the Giants really do strike out on a quarterback, it wouldn't shock me if they offer, like, a couple day three picks for Fields and just give it a go. But I don't know, man. Miami feels tough for a guy like Fields because he doesn't have a choice, right? But I think the team is going to want to have, like, at least a little bit of flexibility towards the front end. Like, Fields doesn't feel like a guy you'd go for in Miami. I think you'd go for more stable veteran type guy, like Flacco.
Yeah.
Or not low end, you know, like potential high riser type, like Fields, that, like, we're still a question mark. You want solid, you know, you want some solidness behind your franchise guy.
Yeah. And I would wondering too, like, there's a couple of teams that are coming to mind right now. And none of them are Miami, like Denver, New Orleans.
I think Denver makes sense.
I don't think Justin Fields is going to be traded prior to the draft. I think he's probably going to be a guy that's traded in, like, May or June.
It surprises me because I think the opposite. I think he'll probably be traded within the next 2 weeks.
My thought is that everyone thinks that they're going to be able to make their way up into, like, those top three or four picks. So they're not going to want to, like, also have a conversation about Fields. I think they're going to have to wait and see how that shakes out. I mean, he could, but it doesn't seem like the interest is there. The other team would probably be Oakland. Not Oakland. I'm sorry. Las Vegas. Because they signed Gardner Minshew and Matt.
What the fuck was that, man?
I think they just needed to have an actual person that has played quarterback on that team before.
What was the deal again? Because I remember seeing it and I was like, what the fuck was that? Like, what was the contract they gave him? 2 years, 25. I guess it's not that bad. I mean, It just feels weird, man.
And they like, got the, money too. They have space.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the Raiders didn't go. I'm surprised the Falcons went the route that they did. We kind of buried the lead here. We didn't talk about Kirk Cousins in free agency because that was fucking insane. Generational fucking bag getter, Kirk Cousins. My God.
For one playoff win.
what has he done to get this much money in, like, I think he's going to pass Eli Manning in, like, career earnings and shit. Like, my God, 4 years, 180 with 100 guaranteed. A guy who's in, what is he, 35? He'll be 36 in August, coming off of an Achilles tear. Generational bag getter, bro. Like, yeah. He's,
I mean,
no unmatched.
That's what his book should be about. Is like, instead of talking about like a book about his experience and his relationship with God and family, and stuff like that, it should be like one of those books that you see in like a Barnes and Noble that's like, how to get rich fast. Like,
I don't want to hear Gary V. or any of these guys ever again about how they make money. I want to hear Kirk Cousins fucking talk about getting that fucking bag, man, because God.
He had two franchise years with Washington, and then he goes to Minnesota, and I think he does two contracts with them, right?
Two contracts, yeah.
Yeah, and now, like, dude, you are paying $180 million to Kirk Cousins so you can go 8-9.
I mean, listen, I respect that the Falcons are going for it, okay? I do. Like, I get it that they've been in hell these last few years with, like, Desmond Ridder and, like, you know, I get it. I empathize with the thought process here. And I get that they have Raheem Morris there, who's like kind of like a, you know, a general coach. You know, he's more of a defensive guy, so they want somebody that can kind of run the offense, right? Like a young guy, like drafting Justin Fields, you really want like an offensive minded head coach because he's a young kid still, he's still learning. Cousins has been around for so long that like he can be your quasi quarterback / offensive coordinator, and I think they signed a good coach to be their offensive coordinator. I'm just like befuddled, man, because it's like if he didn't come off of the Achilles, like that's just the price you pay for quarterbacks, right? Like, I don't think the number would be as shocking if he literally hadn't just torn his Achilles. And like, I just like, you don't even know if he's going to be healthy enough to start right away. And like, not that he's like some fucking running, you know, and I mean, he was having the best start to his career he's ever had. But like, I think there's enough that you can look at his last few years in Minnesota and like, man, Justin Jefferson and Thielen and Jordan Addison and, you know, Dalvin Cook and all these guys like with a really good offensive line and just not really ever getting shit done. So,
yeah, they had to win a bunch of games in the fourth quarter in the second half 2 years ago to make it work for them. And
it'll be fun offense, though.
Yeah, it'll be nice. It'll be fun to watch. I mean, it's definitely going to liven up the NFC South because it's been kind of booty for the last couple of years.
But fucking awful, man. Yeah, with Bijan and Tyler Allgeier and Drake London. Buy Kyle Pitts stock, by the way.
Kyle Pitts has to be the happiest person.
Oh my God, he's so happy
in the world right
now. He's so fucking happy right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Last team to jump back to the AFC East is the New York Jets.
Oh, the New York Jets.
And the reason why I was hesitant to make my comment about David Bakhtiari.
Please, yeah, go ahead.
Because there is a speculation that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to ask Aaron Rodgers to serve as his vice president. So I think depending whether Rodgers retires or not from the NFL to serve our country as the vice president, Davey B might go somewhere else.
I did not know that he was an RFK supporter. It is.
How could you not know
that? I did not know. It is the least surprising fucking thing I've ever heard in my entire life, though, for sure. That is fucking hilarious, man. I, for the love of everything, hope that happens because It would be so funny in fashion to watch like him just retire from the Jets after playing what, two snaps, three snaps at the most?
Four
snaps. The Jets, man, are just an interesting team to me because I, as a Knick fan, and you as a Knick fan too, I'm sure at some point you have asked the heavens, why? Why do you do this to me? Why do you make me feel like things are finally starting to get good and then rip them away from me and force me into this internal suffering, which is being a Knicks fan? And I imagine the Jets fans are asking themselves the same thing over and over again. Why, God, why? They did not put up a fight to get to keep Bryce Huff. And by the way, I was very pissed when he went to Philadelphia because he was number one on my list because I didn't even have Brian Burns as a possibility for the Giants. So Bryce Huff was number one on my list. They let him walk. They signed Tyrod Taylor, which finally get yourself a good backup quarterback. My God, like could have did that last year, maybe salvage that fucking season. They signed John Simpson, Isaiah Oliver, and Javon Kinlaw. Neither of which, other than John Simpson, play offensive line. And I just don't know what you do here with this team. I really don't fucking know.
Yeah. And just looking at some of the guys that they have through free agency, like it's not going to be enough. Like they haven't done enough because their biggest issue last year wasn't necessarily that Zach Wilson was their quarterback for all, I don't know, 14 games that they made him play. Is that their offensive line was really, really poor. And outside of Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, not really much else there in terms of a support structure for the quarterbacks in play.
Nope.
Defense, again, was fantastic. I have no question of Robert Saleh's ability to build a strong offense. My concern is what eventually will win you games, which is your offense. And I don't think they can rely on Breece Hall for every single like major play with that team. And I could very easily see – it's crazy – how in the NFL you can go from like a really talented roster to a really ass roster in the span of like 12 months. And this, I think this is just going to be a continuation of last year. Same questions about Kirk Cousins, except he's 3 years or 4 years younger than Aaron Rodgers. Like you're getting a guy who's older, who is coming off a major surgery.
Yeah.
And you're expecting him to be this, again, an elite level QB. I personally don't see it. I think they're probably going to be the worst team in this division. And I see a small improvement from what they did last year, but not enough to really move the needle.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know what you do with a team like this because if Rodgers comes back healthy, I think it's probably a good bet, right? That they could be a good team, right? But the issue here is that it's like, they're structurally, they are very confusing because they're so defensive heavy. The offensive line is terrible.
Yeah.
It is awful. And they're going to have to find somebody like they're going to have to like make a move. If Joe Alt like slips past a certain point, like they're going to have to be aggressive about that unless they feel like Ua or what is Fuanga from Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
If they feel strongly enough about one of those guys, they really need to get aggressive here. But like the reality is also like rookie tackles are going to struggle, man. And like, they really needed somebody more concrete. Like they should have been in, and they also released Laken Tomlinson too, who by the way has not been good for them. I get it. He was better in San Francisco than he was in New York, but like, man, should you really be getting rid of bodies at this point? I don't think so. It was very weird to me.
Did they cut those guys based off of cap implications or just like, nah, we don't want you anymore?
I think Laken Tomlinson was not great for them. He was very good in San Francisco these last few years. He's only 32 and like he was not great. And I think they just wanted to move on from him. Because the Jets cap, I don't think I don't think the Jets have a cap situation. I think they're pretty healthy cap wise because Rodgers took that that pay cut for them. So I imagine that they're not hurting. They have $18 million in cap space right now. So, all right, maybe a little bit less healthier than I thought. And they, I think long term, they are thinking about the implications with Sauce and Garrett Wilson.
But none of that matters though, because like none of that matters because I don't like right now, if I'm Garrett Wilson, I do not want to play on this team.
No.
And that also brings up another point too. And you had mentioned them drafting an offensive lineman and there's some question marks around that too. But I mean, T. Higgins says he does not want to re-sign with the Bengals, but they franchise tagged him, which means they're probably going to have to trade him. And anything else that's available right now, I'm looking at the PFF grades right now. It's T. Higgins, number one, Pittman signed, Evans signed, Hollywood Brown. Yeah. Calvin Ridley, maybe. Darnell Mooney signed, Falcons. Gabe Davis signed, Jacksonville. Odell Beckham, you want to try that? Wasn't a ton there in Baltimore last year. Tyler Boyd, Curtis Samuel, Kendrick Bourne signed. Like, it gets very thin very fast. So they're going to have to trade for somebody.
This is a deep receiver class. I'm not even really worried about the receiving aspect. I think it's like pure offensive line is going to be like, again, because especially because Rodgers is going to be in a way vulnerable because of his, you know, coming off of the Achilles tear. Like, you really don't want to mess with that. And I just don't know, man. I don't know what you do with this team because it feels like the window closed really fast. And like, unless Rodgers comes back and he looks like Aaron Rodgers from a couple years ago, this is going to be a tough year for them because, like, again, and it's sad because it feels like this year is so winnable, right? Because like the Patriots are the Patriots. Like, who cares? First year, going to struggle. Dolphins, if Tua gets hurt, they're completely done. And the Bills are in a transition year. This feels like a perfect opportunity for them to take over. But it just doesn't feel like there's any real opportunity for them because it feels like they're going to be hampered by this offensive line the entire way. And also still stuck with an offensive coordinator that was not good last year.
And he's only there to placate the current quarterback who was hurt.
This is exactly why you don't fucking make that move, man. And it's like, it is, I'm frustrated. I hate the Jets. I can't stand them. And I'm frustrated for the Jets fans because I'm like, it's just so obvious you don't fucking make those moves and they just keep doing it to themselves. I don't get it, man.
Yeah.
It's Jover for them, man. It feels Jover for them. Like,
yeah, I think the reason why I focus so much on the wide receiving core for them is because it feels very much like we're just reiterating the Green Bay Packers when it was just
Alan Lazard. Like, what the fuck was that?
And it reminds me of times when it was just Rodgers and Davante Adams and nobody else. And Garrett Wilson is the Davante Adams in this situation, obviously. Yeah, right. And it's like you could fix the offensive line, but we're just going to double cover Garrett Wilson moving forward, and we're going to make his life a living hell.
Yeah.
And I mean, who are they going to sign? Michael Thomas? Like, you want to take a bet on that? I get very the problem with this team is that they really needed Zach Wilson to hit. Like, they took him at 3. They definitely should have like waited and got somebody else because they moved up and got him, stuck him on a team that wasn't very good, didn't really have an offensive direction. And I'm going to be honest, like, I blame Robert Saleh for that. Like, you can't be the head coach and be solely focused on the defense and say to your offensive coordinator, like, this is only you. Like, it reminds me very much of like a mid 2000s move. Like, oh, you just hired a defensive coordinator and all they do is run the ball and do like screen passes. And the defense is fantastic. And
this is why I've advocated for, by the way, for signing offensive minded head coaches. Like, that's the one problem is that like, You end up getting a guy who, like Rex Ryan did the same thing, by the way. It's literally Rex Ryan.
Oh, was, yeah.
To where, like, the most important thing in this league is offense. And, like, you have, like, and you're handing it over to a guy who literally the year before, like, failed out of a job after 1 year. And, like, we've both criticized Sean Payton for his comments about that, right? Like, but, like, he wasn't wrong. It's one of those situations where it's, like, he's not wrong. You shouldn't say it, though.
Yeah, no. There was tact that could have answered this a little bit differently. Wrong,
but, like, you didn't have to say it.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, you know.
He's out of line, but he's right.
There's, like, a fraternity thing, right, with like, you know, head coaches. Like, you just don't say shit like that. But it's, like,
right.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I don't know, man. Like, it – the Jets feel more hopeless to me than a lot of other teams in this league because that defense is so good, but it's a bunch of guys that are starting to get older. And if you don't capitalize this year, and if, like, next year we're doing the same thing, we're getting okey-doked again by this team, you're going to watch guys like Quinnen Williams and Mosley and all those guys, they're going to start getting older and, like, they're going to get too expensive. You are so lucky right now because Garrett Wilson and Sauce and Breece Hall are all on rookie deals. And guess what? That gravy train is fucking ending quickly.
Yeah.
Because Sauce is going into what? His fourth year? Third year?
Mm-hmm. Third year.
Third year. So next year you're going to have to decide on a fifth year option. And then guess what? It's over, man. Like, you're paying them both $100+ million if you get to keep them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's even if you get to keep them. It's a gift and a curse when you get these really good guys the same year, man.
Their issue is almost the diametrically different than what the Bills were, right? Where the Bills, they were able to put a bunch of things together at the same time and there were results to show for it. The Jets, their problem is their defense has been fantastic and their offense has been terrible. And that has not changed for 4 years.
It hasn't.
And, like, they tried it with Zach Wilson, didn't work. Okay, we got Aaron Rodgers. Wow, who would have thunk a 38-year-old guy would get hurt? Back to Zach Wilson, and they've just never really learned their lesson. And I think the same thing is going to happen again, where the offense is garbage and the defense is there doing their thing, and they're just getting frustrated and tired. And, you know, Saleh seems like a really smart coach, seems like a really good guy. It's just like, dude, man, you've allowed kind of the circus to run the show at this point, and all this discipline that you preach, like, you've not been able to find a competent mind to run your offense or competent coaches to at least coach up your players to do what they need to do. Last question on the Jets. Do they hang on to Zach Wilson? Is he going to be QB3 or are they going to find a way to let him go or trade him? I can't imagine he's on this team next year.
No, I think I think he's gone. I think most likely it'll be a release. I can't imagine anybody giving up capital for Zach Wilson. I can't picture it in my head. Like, what do you give up for a guy like that? Maybe swap 7th round picks or something. Some team gets interested in him as a project, you know, like Kansas City or San Francisco or something, you know.
Chargers, maybe.
Yeah, some team with that, like, has an unquestioned, you know, elite or borderline elite quarterback that he's no threat to. No, he's not a threat to really anybody, but try and get something out of him. Like, San Francisco makes a lot of sense to me. Like, I could see easily, like, him being, like, a third stringer because now Sam Darnold's gone.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a backup or something. Cause, like, you know, if anybody can get anything out of him, it's Kyle Shanahan. He's kind of made for that offense too. So San Francisco seems like a good bet for me. That's what I'll say. But there's no way they bring him back.
Do you think the Rams would be interested in him? And the only reason why I bring it up is because McVay's offense, he's plugged in guys like, Baker Mayfield and backups alike. Like, he took a chance on Baker Mayfield when Carolina released him, and he played that one game and it was solid. He
it was great.
Effectively parlayed that into a $100 million deal.
By the way, my prediction from last year that Baker Mayfield would have a big bounce back. I'm proud of him, man. I'm happy for Baker.
Oh, yeah. Good for him.
I don't like the Cleveland Browns. I don't like the way they handled that situation at all. I thought they disrespected him. And it's good to see that they're like kind of scrambling for a good backup there. And, you know,
they got Jameis.
That has got to be the most interesting QB room in the history of the NFL, man. Oh, like, my
God.
That is fucking insane, man. I want to be a fly. Like, honestly, you could charge me $100 a month to watch their QB room meetings, and I would pay it.
I just want to know who is their, like, QB3 on that team. Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
DTR, man.
He is just like
the least problematic one in that room.
Yeah, like I left UCLA for this.
He's just sitting there like, what the fuck is going on in this room? Because Jameis is just talking about eating W's and Deshaun's like, where are the massages at?
Yeah, I don't do anything bad.
Dory Thompson Robbins is like, can I get out of here, please?
Hey, I'm scared. Do I I'm need scared. To be here for these two yeah. talking to each other?
I'm fucking nervous right now. I need to get out of here. Man.
Pick me up. I'm scared.
Yeah. Dude, it's so funny, man. Jameis in there is just the funniest shit ever, man. I swear.
At least they'll be interesting.
They are interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah, we'll cover them at some point. Any other thoughts on the Jets? Like,
so many. It was funny watching yesterday because I was kind of patrolling Twitter and, you know, just kind of keeping an eye on stuff because the news was coming out so fast. And if you watch every post about the Jets, you know, signing, when they signed Isaiah Oliver, I felt so bad for Isaiah Oliver because if he looked in that post, man, it was like a bunch of people screaming, I don't give a fuck, give me an offensive lineman, do something. Bakhtiari, and again, like we kind of buried the lead with Bakhtiari, right? Is like, even if they get Bakhtiari, again, it's the Tyron Smith situation, right? Like you got to hope that he's good for like 9 games a year.
You're a couple years too late with him.
Yeah, so
it's another Green Bay guy who is friends with Aaron Rodgers, and
what do you pay him too? It's like, man,
honestly,
you're gonna feel compelled to give him whatever he wants because that's what Rodgers wants, and it's like it's gonna be one of those situations again, man.
Yeah, I mean, in a realistic world, it'd be like, hey, man, we'll give you an invitation to training camp, and if you make the team, we'll talk then, but.
It's a very much when you let a guy like Rodgers get all that power, man, that's the one problem is that like it really does put you in a really tough spot because now you really kind of are pot, like, you know, if to put it in poker terms, like you're pot committed, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's a losing battle and you know, you shouldn't do it, but you have so much invested in it already that you're like, you feel like you kind of just have to do it.
I'm just revisiting that list of guys that you had mentioned for offensive linemen. No.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's they missed the boat dramatically. And you know, I would imagine that when Rodgers became available for trade, there was really only one team that wanted him, and it was the Jets. Because
yeah, I can't imagine there was like a lot of suitors or anything like that. It just
they wanted
like
that splash guy, and you know, now you have to kind of live with it. And I'd imagine though, like Woody Johnson likes the attention that they're getting with him, but it's terrible attention.
I don't know, man. The Jets, it wouldn't surprise me if the Jets come out and are really good next year. And it wouldn't shock me if they're like a 2-win team. Like, I have no read on this team at all. It doesn't look good. I would say more likely 2 than 12, you know?
Yeah, there's too many holes to be addressed with the draft capital they have. Wait, how much did they give up for Rodgers?
I don't think it was that much. I don't think it was that much. Yeah, I think it was like a first round pick, but I think it was last year. So I don't think that they really have a See, this is another thing. I know they have the 10th pick in the draft, so they definitely don't have.
It's a conditional second round pick for this year. Everything else was Packers got 2023 first round pick, second round pick, sixth round pick, and then conditional two for this year.
Conditional.
Becomes a first if Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps.
So that's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was. Okay. So it would have been a first round pick if he had played, which everybody was like, it's a first round pick because he's going to play. Of course, he's going to play 65% of the snaps. And then he fucking ruptures his Achilles on play four.
Yep.
Jesus fucking Christ, man. Oh, God. That is like, I remember watching that and I was like, wouldn't it be like ridiculous if he just like tears his ACL on like the first
play? The other one?
No. I was saying it watching the game. I was sitting there and I was like, I made a joke about it earlier that week. I was with my buddy who was a Jets fan, and I said, I'm like, he's gonna tear his Achilles. Like, you're a Jets fan, man. Like, you know what's gonna happen. He's like, what? I'm like, he's gonna tear his Achilles on the fucking first play of the game. Like, that's what happened. I said his ACL. I'm like, he's gonna tear his ACL on the first play. Like, that's what happens to the Jets. Like, you know that already. And he's like, don't fucking put that evil on me. And I was like, I'm joking, but like, you know what's gonna happen. I didn't mean to be funny, but like, it would be the funniest outcome. And it had on the fourth play, he ruptures Achilles, and he texted me, "Fuck you."
And he was the guy in NFL Hard Knocks and everything. Like, everything built up to that moment.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It really is. Like, and now, like, I don't know. Like, you know, you can't really get a read on his recovery either, because like, he's listening to dolphin sounds to heal his wounds and shit, and taking ayahuasca.
His cap hit for this year is $32 million. Next year is $51 million. Whew. The year after that is $45 million.
Yikes. Well, you're stuck with him.
Again, the Packers with a masterclass trade of a guy that is master ass. Any other thoughts on Jets, Bills, Patriots, Dolphins?
No, I think we about covered everything, honestly.
Okay, so that'll about does it for us here, folks. What we will be doing next week is we're going to be taking another division and picking them apart as well. If there is one that you want us to focus on specifically, we are happy to do that. Also, if you have any questions or anything that you want us to answer or discuss in this episode, please feel free to share it with us either through YouTube or social media channels, or go ahead and just direct message us. We do this every week, so please follow along. Tell your friends. If you have friends that are Jet fans, pray for those people. They are going to have a very dark and sad year, as well as many other teams in the NFL too. So thanks again for listening, folks, and we will see you next week.
Bye.